What's up, Noel Nation? It's the guys from Planting the Spear back with you for another episode. And Michael, we are 3 weeks from kickoff, 2 weeks from kickoff. And just when I thought we were finally done with all this mess, here we are again. We are back talking about realignment and all this stuff. But there have been some recent things that are pretty important. And so I feel like we just kind of can't ignore it because I think it's worth talking about. And so obviously to start with, we got some documents that have recently been released. They're heavily redacted. There's also been some things that have been going on in the background at FSU that we're going to tie into all this. That I think this is a really interesting topic. And then, of course, the House settlement it's not final yet, but it's got some new details that we think are worth sharing that tie into all this. So just to get up to speed on all this stuff, we're going to go ahead and do an episode on it and talk about it. But again, we are talking about lots of football content. So we just feel like this one definitely needed to be addressed. So before we talk about that, how are you, Michael? And thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me always, man. Yeah, listen, we are ready for football. We're ready for men to be hitting each other and throwing the ball and cheering and going to games. I mean, we're so ready for that. And so that's what we're gearing up here for at Plant the Spear. But, you know, of course, like you said, we get the news. We want to bring it to you. We're a fan site, and we want to bring the stuff that is most interesting to the fans. And so we're taking a break from our football content, our preseason stuff, to just bring you the updates of this stuff. And, Jesse, let me just tell you, I think if anything, this is actually a good sign for Florida State, what we're getting ready to talk about. And I think it's going to be helpful in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, it's like getting news that your starting quarterback is healthy or something like
that. That's right.
It's pretty important. It's pretty big. I mean, of course, I have to first say that a lot of this stuff is heavily redacted in the documents that we've seen.
That's right.
So, frankly, there is a lot of insinuation going on here with what we think the case is going to be. But I think we have a good enough grasp on this. At least you do, which is why I'm gonna let you be the offensive coordinator for this show. I'm gonna pitch the ball to you, but I'm gonna start with giving kind of what I understand. So obviously the Florida Attorney General, Ashley Moody, who would have ever thought in a million years that a Gator fan would be the one kind of helping us get out of here.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
You got that right. And so the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And that's right.
I guess we can be friends over one thing. But she was able to get the documents released. Now, there has been a lot of this is heavily redacted, so we really can't hardly see much of anything. But from what people have been reading through the tea leaves and whatnot with these documents, it seems that we can draw enough of a conclusion that what originally Clemson, their original argument, and kind of where Florida State has transitioned their argument towards, this kind of seems to be backing that up. And that's important because, you know, there's been a lot of he said, she said with this stuff where, like, Florida State, it says that the ACC's telling one side of the story, the ACC is telling the other side of the story. Everybody thinks FSU is the bad guy when it kind of sounds like the ACC might have been blowing some smoke up everybody's, you know what.
Correct.
And so that's to me what is so interesting about this is because if a lot of this stuff is true, this is backing up what they're saying about the grant of rights only being valid while you're a conference member and that the date in question is not, in fact, 2036. Because the date in these documents is redacted. And we've all known, whether you're an ACC person or not, everybody knows the date has been 2036. It's been heavily publicized. Everybody knows it was 2036. Why would you need to redact a date that's publicly known? And so that is very interesting because it sounds like really the new date for this is going to be 2027. And if that is true, and I'm going to let you share a lot of the details on this, but if that 2027 extension, which is what's really coming into question, the belief is that that is not a look-in period where kind of both sides get to come to the table here. That is either ESPN says we love you or we don't. And with changes always comes like new contracts and things like that, which schools have to agree to. So this could come to a vote. And, you know, that for the ACC, we were talking about it before the show, they're going to need around 12 votes to approve this new deal. Now, we know there's really only two teams that want to get out.
Right.
We know UNC probably wants to get out, but they just won't say it publicly. So that we're going to need a little bit of help on this. But it does sound like, at least if nothing else, this changes a lot of things. This could be, you know, the legal system could rule that 2027 is the date. And if nothing else, I mean, it makes it sound like it's going to be cheaper to get out if nothing else. And so that's just really kind of my understanding that that the documents that have come out show that Florida State and Clemson think that 2027 is the end of the grant of rights and the media deal.
Correct.
Unless picked up by ESPN, which in that case would have to go to a vote. And then also there was an extension done by Jim Phillips because this was supposed to be given. They were supposed to give ESPN was supposed to give notice 2 years after the ACC network was launched.
Correct.
Which happened in 2019.
Correct.
Well, Phillips gave them an extension kind of on his own right, you know, kind of didn't ask nobody.
Correct.
And gave them a little bit of an option in 2021 to give them 4 more years. And so that is coming to question two. Now, of course, he was asked about that at Media Days, said that the relationship isn't going anywhere. Of course, he's going to say that. Why would he say anything different? So that's my understanding. And I've been pretty busy doing a lot of football content, so I'm out of the loop on this. So, you know, I'm gonna give you the option. I'm gonna throw the pitch, and I'm gonna let you take this and give us the need to know details, and then we'll tie it into how all this works with Florida State getting out of the ACC.
Yeah, thanks for the pitch. I'm going to try to take it to a touchdown to the end zone here. There's multiple facets to this whole thing. And so I'll just give you just what we understand. And I want to make a quick shout out to Rohan Law. He's been on this thing. He's on Twitter. If you don't follow him, X, whatever you call it, you need to follow him. This guy's very knowledgeable. He's a lawyer. He understands this kind of law. And he explains it in such a way that for people like you and I, we can understand it.
Because like we always say, we're not lawyers on Twitter. We're not Twitter lawyers.
Exactly. And he's a lawyer on Twitter.
Exactly.
So basically the way he's explaining it, and the way I understand it is that why this is important is because the ACC has been in contention, has been saying over and over again that the grant of rights it doesn't expire. They hold the rights to every school of the ACC till 2036. And Florida State, actually, from the very beginning, because remember, Florida State and Clemson had sent lawyers to North Carolina to go into the vault to view these really secret documents, and they couldn't take pictures. They couldn't take word-for-word notes. They only had to take concepts of notes. But they have been contending that actually the grant of rights is not, one, enforceable, but two, not enforceable to 2036 if it is enforceable. Well, right. ACC and everybody else, ESCC Network and whatever his name, the dude, big ear guy, Feinbaum have been saying, oh, this is 2036, Florida State needs to shut up and stop whining. Well, case in point, actually, the redacted documents that came out basically said it shows very clearly on multiple occasions that the original ESPN media deal runs to 2027. Now, there isn't a ability for ESPN to extend the deal. Keyword is that it's not a look-in. It's actually an extension. And by the bylaws of the ACC, if ESPN extends the deal, then the ACC members have to vote on that as well. So there's a two-part to that. ESPN has to agree to extend. The ACC members have to vote to extend. Okay? So that's one part.
And I will say real quick, I think it is important to remember what you talked about, how they saw the thing in Charlotte. Like, we know that Florida State now has the unredacted documents. But they saw the unredacted documents that made they couldn't, you know, it's Indiana Jones type of stuff. They couldn't, you know, maybe they couldn't make copies of stuff, but they saw all this prior to filing their lawsuit.
Exactly.
So they knew this document before they filed the lawsuit. Now they just can actually sit there and study it.
Exactly. So if it is the case, if the judge sees it this way as well, too, because that's what the document clearly says, is that it's 2027, then technically if they see it as 27, the ACC has contended over and over again that the grant of rights is connected to the ESPN media deal. Well, if that's the case and the media deal ends in 2027, so does the grants of right. Okay. Which means then if Florida State and Clemson, let's say they announce this year that they're going to be out in 2025, that means they only have to pay for 2025, 26, and 27. That's 3 years. And right now it's estimated that it's about $41.99 million for their rights, okay? So that'd be about $150 million that they'd have to pay to get out of the grant of rights, on top of the exit penalty, which is $141 million. And we'll get to that in just a second. So if that's the case, well, that number, that $500 million number that's been out there since this thing has started, gets significantly shrunk, right? So that puts FSU in a better negotiating place with the ACC. Now, let's say that the judge comes back and says, actually, the rights of the school belongs to the school. Like, they can lend you the rights, ACC, but there's no you owning it, which makes the grant of rights unenforceable, period. Well, now the ACC loses out on that money, okay? Here's the other side of this. Clemson, wisely, when they entered the lawsuit, they started challenging the fact that the exit penalty, which is $141 million, is a penalty. Now, why is that significant? Because remember way back when Maryland, who used to be a part of the ACC, was one of the founding members of the ACC, sued the ACC to get out of the ACC to go to the Big Ten. And one of the things they sued and one of their arguments was that the exit fee was a penalty. And by being deemed a penalty, legally, you cannot be charged a penalty to leave somewhere. They won that case. They won that argument, which basically said that the ACC cannot charge an exit penalty to leave the conference. So if Florida State does, let's say the grant of rights is enforceable till 2027, well, they have amended their argument to say, well, that penalty is not enforceable because that's a penalty. Well, if they win that case, that removes $141 million. Now you're looking at $150 million right off the top of the table, right?
Yeah.
And I was going to say,
I think really we've said this all along, that really it's down to a numbers game for Florida State. And we've heard they got somewhere like $200 million that they could throw at this thing or something like that. And so I think it really, it comes down to numbers. And like you said, if you cut that down from $572 million, which is what Florida State said it would cost to get out of here for their grant of rights and the penalty and all that stuff, if you get that down to $150 million,
correct,
that's not going to stop Florida State from leaving it. And I could be wrong about this next part, but when Texas and Oklahoma left the Big 12, obviously contracts are different and things like that. I don't believe there was any exit penalty. They had to pay their grant of rights, correct, which was, I think they ended up negotiating down to about $50 million a piece and for 2 years worth of contract.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing is with the Maryland thing, you know, they still don't get a full payout, mm-hmm, because the Big Ten helped them finance, correct, that buyout. So again, once you get to a numbers game, and if you are courted by another conference or whatever, as long as the math adds up, Florida State's going to use that to their advantage to leave.
Absolutely. Correct. Absolutely. And so what this is really doing, Jesse, as you just clearly, very clearly stated and got alluded to, is the fact that this is giving FSU a bigger bargaining chip to get the ACC to the table and say, look, we understand we're going to have to pay something.
Right.
We don't want to pay that. And you don't want to lose this case because we get to walk scot-free. So how about we come to the table and let's come up with a number we can both live with, basically, right? Because here's the other side of this, and I talked about this in the pre-show, and maybe FSU is arguing this more in the case. I don't know why we're not talking about it more publicly. It's the fact that the original deal, as you stated, was supposed to be extended by 2021, 2 years after the launch of the ACC ESPN network, right? And that was signed in 2019, the ACC network was launched in 2019. So in 2021, this extension should have already been determined. But right, Jim Phillips, okay, new commissioner, decides to gratuitously, graciously award ESPN an additional 4-year extension to decide whether or not they wanted to extend the deal. Now, according to what I understand of the bylaws of that was supposed to, the members should have been informed and voted on whether or not he had the ability to extend that. He did that by himself. That is a huge red flag.
Yeah.
I'm assuming FSU is probably, and Clemson is probably using that in their arguments, because if he didn't have the power to do that, then basically the contract ends in 2027. Now, the last thing I'll say to this is, you know, one of the things that we came understanding that wasn't as redacted was that in section 14.1 of the ACC's 2016's TV contract, it states this. It says that ESPN has the exclusive revocable option, but not obligation, meaning they can actually decide whether or not they want to, and they are not obligated to pick it or decide to extend the agreement, okay, until such a date, and that date's redacted. Everyone believes that's where it says 2036. But why would it be redacted if it's publicly known that it's 2026? or 36, unless it is not 2036,
right?
Which is key, okay? And then it says that it states that the extension would run from January 1st of 2027 through date redacted. Again, why is that redacted? And that it would be have to be exercised no later than 2 years after launch AC. Now, here's the thing. In that letter that Jim Phillips sends to extend this whatever thing, ESPN confirms and they both agree and say there is an amendment to section 14.1. Now, I'm not, I don't live in contract law, but I do understand that when a contract is amendment, it is basically a brand new contract.
Right.
And if that is the case, then that has to go before the board to vote. If they do not, then the contract is null and void, right? So that is also at play at here. Basically, all of these things, Jesse, are more opportunity for Florida State to have more wind in their sail so that they can get the ACC to the table and say, hey, look, we got enough that, man, we are putting fear in the doubt of your case right now, that your case is on shaky ground and you're fighting a battle from all three fronts, from North Carolina, Florida, and South Carolina. Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to destroy what might be left of your conference? And so this is going to be hopefully a great opportunity for Florida State to flex its muscles a little bit, get the ACC to the table and say, look, let's just figure out what this number is that's reasonable for the both of us, and then we'll get out of your way and you can go and die off somewhere.
Right. And, you know, it's like they said, too, if you were to extend that from 27 to 36, that could be a new grant of rights, which means
correct,
you'd have to agree to that. Now, if it gets to the vote, like we talked about before,
that's right,
you're going to need a two-thirds majority. So you're going to need what we said. It was about 12 teams with the 17 members now. I doubt any of the new guys are going to vote to leave when they just got here. So you're going to need a little bit of help. But we've already established that the SEC, we know they want UNC and UVA for basketball reasons, for the East Coast option reasons, for the markets and all that type of stuff. We know that. So you figure between that and Clemson and Florida State, you got about four teams. So you're still going to need some help. But
yeah,
I think what's interesting that we were talking about before the show from the ACC's perspective, you know, I do think it comes down to where you're like, okay, well, we don't know that we don't think there's that many teams. There's five other teams that are going to get a seat at the Power Two table outside of the ones that we mentioned. But I think also that you'd think that, like, okay, well, if some of these teams go, and then when we do re-sign the thing, that it's not going to be worth what it was now, that maybe, just maybe, we should go ahead and go to the Big 12 if you're a program like Pitt Louisville or Miami or Virginia Tech.
Right.
If you know there's at least four teams that when this thing does run up 27 or 36, whenever it is, we're out of here. Because there's still the option that ESPN could say, we're not going to extend this thing.
That's right.
And then at 2027, you're either going to be playing on the CW or everybody's going to be scrambling for a seat at the table.
Exactly.
And I think for the ACC, when you talk about the negotiation process, you know, we talk about that 12 votes. You might, as the ACC, feel like you're going to get those 12 votes because there's probably 12 teams that aren't going to get a seat at the Power Two table. But you don't know that. And if you don't get the 12 votes and this whole thing comes crashing down like a house of cards, then everybody can leave. And you may end up in a position where Florida State, Clemson, UNC, and Virginia, even if the four teams that can get out end up going to the power table, you might to survive.
Yeah.
You might have to go snap up some G5 teams. And at that point, I mean, you're almost becoming the Sun Belt at that point.
Basically.
You know, I love the Sun Belt. No offense to them. But it is interesting. And so that's my understanding of it as well. And, you know, a couple of things that I will say that I think are interesting. And I mean, this has been reported as a report. It's not concrete. We don't know. It could happen the day it's due. But it has been reported that Florida State and Clemson are not expected to announce departure for the 25-26 season by August 15th. That's
correct.
13 days, less than 2 weeks. Of course, it could still happen. I mean, it could very well still happen. But I think what else is interesting for me, as we tie this into what this means for Florida State, and I think, like you said, if nothing else, this is like it makes you feel more confident in the argument, knowing that what I mentioned earlier, that Florida State's people saw all this before they even filed their suit. So they knew what they were getting into with this argument. But I think there's some things that have recently come out that align with this that look really interesting. Like maybe, just maybe, these guys know what they're doing. And so what I think is interesting is, so when you look at, if let's just say again that the reports are true, and we don't announce that we're going to leave by 25-26 season, right? And so we would have to announce next year by August 15th that we're going to leave after 27-28. which again might be the last year of the ACC as we know it. But I think what is interesting that has recently come out, and this is one was said in a like a alumni meeting, and it's also on Florida State's website. I downloaded like a PDF of their strategic plan going forward and read through it some. Florida State is openly saying that they plan on being AAU within the next 3 years. And so that puts you, imagine that, around 27, 28, being an AAU member. And so if the grant of rights were to be nullified or the contract doesn't get extended and all this stuff happens all around 2027, I mean, don't you just find it convenient that they also plan on being AAU around 2027? So to me, I think this opens up the door to going to the Big Ten. And what I'll say about that is when you look at the Big Ten, and after we did the last grant of rights, or not grant of rights, the last realignment episode, I did some additional research and looking at some things. And, you know, like you said, I think with Florida State, let's just say this comes out before then, because we know the extension has to be picked up by 2025. So if ESPN comes out in 2025 and says, no, we're not going to pick this up, now you got to start making a plan to get out of here by 2027. So I do think that, like, if the number gets down low enough, $50 to $100 million is not going to stop Florida State from leaving the ACC. I think they'll pay the money and they'll leave, especially if the penalty, like you said, gets nullified. But let's just say they were to stay, you know, okay, we'll hang out till 2027, then we're out of here. Then you can walk out the door and pay nothing, zero, which is nice. And so the Big Ten's media contract runs through 29 and 2030. This is assuming we're going to go to the Big Ten because they're pursuing AAU. And AAU, to touch on this, because there's been some misconceptions here about having, you have to, there's a hard line in the sand. You have to be AAU to get to the Big Ten. It has been reported by Brett McMurphy, who's a reliable source, that under the new Big Ten commissioner, Tony Petitti, that academics are a very, very strong consideration. But AAU is not a hard line in the sand. I understand Nebraska doesn't have AAU. They had it when they got accepted. They lost it. Every other member is AAU, and Nebraska's trying to get back there. Side note, a lot of people, and we both disagree with this, but we know that Notre Dame has had a longstanding offer to join the Big Ten.
Right.
They were not AAU. Guess what they got last year? AAU. So, like, they're positioning themselves that they need to go to the Big Ten, that's going to be there. So academics are a big consideration, but AAU is not a hard line in the sand. But Florida State is pursuing that AAU because then at that point, you have no reason to deny Florida State coming into the Big Ten. They have the athletics. They would have the academics. You know, they said they plan on investing up to $500 million in research in the coming years. So they're putting themselves in position. So really the only argument from the last episode we did on realignment is we're a bad member or whatever. But if we caught the ACC lying by some stuff,
that's right,
then it sounds like we were right. You know what I mean? So I also think, and the reason I bring that up for the Big Ten is they're – media rights agreement is due to renew in 29 after the 29-2030 season. So if we were to get out of this, out of the ACC to join the Big Ten, there's a pretty good chance when you look at the way that contract is written, the media contract with the Big Ten, Fox does not do pro rata like the SEC has. And pro rata basically means that if the ESPN and the SEC do agree to add a new member, you get the going rate right now. You get a full share membership. Fox does not do that. Even in the Big 12's contract, ESPN owns about two-thirds of their media contract with the Big 12. They offer pro rata. Fox's side of it does not. But they do offer escalators. Mm-hmm. And these escalators allow them more money to help bring in these new teams if they were to add them. So if Florida State has to come in, even as a partial share member around that 2027 date or so, they are only going to have to go about 2 years as a partial share member. And as we know, with a $80, $90 million payout in the Big Ten, partial share member probably pays about as much as the ACC full share membership does, right, especially when you add in the CFP money, which is an additional $8 million a year. Right. And be reminded, there is a look-in period in the CFP money where if Florida State and Clemson go and the SEC gets stronger with maybe Miami, Virginia, those schools are probably going to get more money too. So I think, like I said, man, I think the fact that Florida State is pursuing AAU, they saw this contract before they ever sued to get out of the ACC. If they feel the media rights deal ends in 2027 and it gets proven to be that case, I think this is opening the door for them to go to the Big Ten. Now, the academics are already there. They are ranked, I think, higher than like six schools in the Big Ten in academics, even though they're not AAU. But if they get that AAU, again, that's the one thing that everybody has been saying. They're not going to take you unless you're AAU. Well, it sounds like they're going to be there in about 3 years. And so it makes me ask, why would Florida State be pursuing all this? I mean, of course, you want to get better as a university, too, and that's a lot of money for the school. It's just do the math, man. You know, do the math. And to even touch on, like, the SEC side of things, you know, because we've talked about this before the show. Like, we would love the matchups from a non-university standpoint, from athletics only. We love the matchups in the SEC.
Much better.
Regionality, driving distance and all that stuff. But even when you look at that, people have asked when this comes up in conversations, why would ESPN negotiate to pay their two top brands more money than they're already paying them? And I think it's not about them paying Florida State and Clemson more money. It's about killing off an underperforming asset. And the thing is, if we know, we'll know soon enough by February of next year whether they're going to pick up this extension or not. If they don't pick up the extension, that tells you that they don't want the asset anyway.
Exactly.
And so if you can take the two brands, and again, man, this is no dish to the ACC. Look at the number, their programs in the ACC, not the screw them guys. But like, if you look at the TV numbers, it is Florida State, it is Clemson, and it's everybody else way down here.
Thank you.
So if ESPN can keep Fox from getting its two biggest brands out of the ACC, they keep those two biggest brands. Again, look back to the last realignment episode we did where we said Florida State has played six games against current SEC members over the last 2 years and averaged 7.48 million viewers in those games. Those numbers are massive. So the TV draw is there. If ESPN can get those and then kill off the ACC and let them go play on the CW or whatever.
Right.
Man, I mean, again, like this is, I understand a lot of people think Florida State's just making a lot of noise and spending a lot of money in legal fees. But as these things keep rolling out, as these documents keep coming out, it looks like what they're saying has been right the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, like, it's not just the fact that, you know, that everyone's, oh, Florida State's just being whiny. No, Florida State's looking out for Florida State's self. They're trying to preserve what is one of the blue bloods of college football. Their program, of their athletic program. And they, again, when you look at this whole ESPN deal thing, ESPN, like you said, I love the phrasing you use, an underperforming product. That's what the ACC outside of Clemson and Florida State has been. And yes, Florida State's had a couple of down seasons there, but overall, it's been Florida State mostly, and then Clemson recently, and now Florida State's back at the top. All the other ACC schools, and no offense to UNC or Virginia Tech I hope Miami, you take all the offense in the world, is they just haven't been up to the standard. None of them have been in national championship contention. None of them have been in anywhere of the elite status or been even in the conversation of elite status in that. And ESPN is paying all this money. So yeah, anybody out there who has a job or has a business, you understand the concept. If you got something that's underperforming, you want to offload it. You want to get rid of it. Why do you think ESPN hasn't? ESPN could have re-upped the extension when they had the chance. Why does Jim Phillips need to offer an extension of when they have to decide? Why are we now going into the 2024 season with one more year to go for the extension and we still haven't heard a word about it being extended?
Exactly.
Because ESPN, you know, owned by Disney, they've been bleeding money. They've been trying to figure out how to stop bleeding money. They've made this, what was it, $3 billion investment into the SEC. They need to offload some products that ain't working. And the ACC is prime. They already did it with the Pac-12. Look what's next. And so it makes sense that they're holding off on this extension of the media contract with the ACC. And if they don't do it, then guess what? Why would they want to let their two biggest brands, the ACC, go to the competition when they could keep those two biggest brands and then have all that money that they're not paying the ACC anymore go into their biggest brand? Remember, the Big Ten has a nationwide conference now, and all they're missing is a flag and one of the three biggest recruiting states in the country, which is the state of Florida. They could get that with Florida State. They could get another big brand with Florida State. You know, probably not Clemson because we talked about their academics. They don't have the AAU status, but their academics aren't even close enough to be even considered for that.
Right.
So Clemson is probably not a candidate for Big Ten inclusion, but FSU definitely is as well too. We all know that the SEC has come out and said very clearly that they would love to have Virginia and UNC. I have speculated that they also want Florida State. They're just trying to make Florida State look bad right now because they're trying to shrink the pie. But we all, in the previous episode, Jesse, you did a great job explaining, like, no, that pie gets bigger if you add Florida State. And so I would just say that, you know, if it is the Big Ten, you know, as I told you, if it is the Big Ten, great. If it's the SEC, even better. I just want to get the heck out of the ACC.
No, I agree. And I think really with the Big Ten, it's better for the university itself with the research money and the academics and things like that. I think that the TV money is actually a little better in the Big Ten now, but the SEC is projected to kind of pass them, I think, in the in the long-term future. But like you said, it's really about just looking out for Florida State and its long-term future. And you know, again, like you said, man, I mean, you just look at what ESPN has done with getting rid of a lot of their top talent. They let them go to Fox. They fired a lot of these guys that were like making insane amount of monies, which first off was a stupid contract negotiation, which, hey, looks like they got a history of stupid contract negotiation. But I think you're right, though, man. And it's like, if they wanted this asset, and you also have to think of the ACC in two ways. You have to think of the ACC as it currently stands, and you have to think of the ACC as a performing asset. Minus Florida State and Clemson. Minus Florida State and Clemson, it's not worth near the money that they're paying right now from a TV viewership standpoint. And you can hate on us all you want, thinking that we're just a bunch of arrogant FSU fans, but go look at the numbers. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at your fans for not watching your games. That's not my fault. And so I think that's important because, like you said, man, if they were so hell-bent on keeping the ACC the way it is, they would have signed that contract in 2021, and they would have locked these rates in. And instead, they got a four-year extension, during which they signed a $3 billion deal with the ESPN. And like, I understand, again, you know, the Big Ten, you wouldn't get the full share, but you wouldn't have to take partial share for long. And that money's a lot better. So I think this opens the door to either one. And I think if ESPN did kill off the ACC and, you know, if for all intents and purposes, if they know what's going to kind of happen with this thing, if they know how the game of musical chairs is going to end up, we've said this before. Without Florida State and Clemson, I think there's literally zero chance they pick up that extension option. Maybe they renegotiate to a lower rate or something like that. Like, yeah, we'll keep you on TV, but we're not going to pay Wake Forest versus Boston College the same as we would pay Florida State versus Clemson or Miami or something like that. So I think that's important. And, you know, I get people don't like ESPN and they don't like the SEC, but you also have to understand that, like, ESPN owns the sole rights to the playoffs. So, like, if you want to be good, And we do. You got to deal with ESPN at some point. And, you know, we were making this joke before the show. Like, most of you are, some of you may not, but most of you are old enough to remember that movie, The Mummy. And in there's a saying in The Mummy that says, I'd rather be in the right hand of the devil than in his path. Look, I hate ESPN and the SEC as much as the next guy. I'd rather them screw someone else and put us in the playoffs than what they did last year screw us to put someone else in. So, I mean, you're going to have to deal with them one way or the other. But, yeah, man, I think this really does open the door to at least Florida State's, because it just makes your argument look more valid. It makes Clemson's argument look more valid. And, you know, something else, and I don't know if you can shed any light on this, but something that we were talking about before the show where I think it was we had read something about. So either Florida State or Clemson need to win their court case. Either one. Yeah. Doesn't have to be both. Either one. But for the ACC to win, they have to win both court cases.
Well, yeah, basically the way it works is, and Rohan Law talks about this, is that basically FSU and Clemson, or FSU or Clemson, one or the other, they only have to win one argument of their court case. They don't have to win the whole court case. They just got to win one argument, and basically the whole thing comes crashing down for the ACC. The ACC, on the other hand, has to win every single argument that they've proposed, because if one argument the judge rejects, the whole thing comes crashing down, because their whole house of cards or the grant of rights is built on every single argument, and one argument actually eliminates all the other arguments. Whereas where the lawyers for Clemson and Florida State have done is that they've built arguments that can be taken apart by themselves to say, okay, that's true, but that may not be true. But if this is true, that eliminates everything for the ACC. So the onus is on the ACC to have to prove, and like you said, win both cases in both states, which we already know is already difficult. And so this news makes it even more agreeable that the ACC should find themselves at the negotiating table.
Yeah, like they're coming out of the loser's bracket in the tournament. They got to win every game to get out.
That's right.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, just to circle back and close this out, I think it is important to know that a lot of this is currently speculation and hearsay, but it's just, again, the redacted version of the documents seem to back up what Florida State and Clemson have been arguing this whole time. And so, like you said, it just makes you feel better about not only about really about three things. One, the outcome of the case.
That's right.
Two, the opportunity to get to the negotiating table. And three, the possibility we didn't get to see the date. Florida State did. And, of course, mm-hmm. they can't release it because that's trade secrets and all that stuff. But that date being 2027, if it is 2027, then we're going to get out of here a lot cheaper than we thought, a lot sooner than we thought. And then at that point, you know, I think the other thing is, again, we're going to know really soon, less than a year away. I mean, 6 months or whatever away. My math skills ain't that great. Whenever February, however February is, however far that is from now, you're looking at about 6 months away. We're going to know whether ESPN is going to pick this up or not, because I don't think there's going to be another sweetheart deal to give them another 4 years. That ain't going to fly now.
So
I think it's going to be interesting coming up. And that's why we thought this was important to talk about even this close to the season, because, man, this could be massive news. You know, and it's going to be huge if it goes our way.
That's right.
But the other thing to round out this episode, we're going to go into the house stuff now and why this is so important. Now, we're going to kind of speed things up here because we're going to give you the need to know. Like Michael said earlier, we are the fan site that we try and be the ultimate fan source for FSU. So we're going to give you the need to know. There's a lot of details in here that you probably don't care about, but this is why it's so important for that revenue jump. This is why it's so important not to get left behind.
That's right.
With a $30, $40, $50 million revenue gap, which we're already staring down right now by staying in the ACC. So recently, the House versus NCAA or whatever it is, settlement, it's not final yet. I got to say that. But there have been a lot more details that have been hammered out that are kind of give us an idea of the structure of how this is going to work. So right now, what you need to know on the timeline is they are expecting sometime in March of 2025. Man, that's going to be in the crucial 2 months going on here, right? Man. That February, March, kind of that spring of 2025, we're going to be having some big decisions made.
With our phones on our eyes like
this. Exactly. one of us have to stay up 24 hours. Like, we'll take shifts to watch the notifications. But it's going to be important, man. They're expected to have the final ruling in March of 2025. And then in summer of 2025, if that ruling is put into place, that's when this deal will kick in. It is a 10-year deal. And what I think is interesting about just some side thoughts on that, the fact that it is only a 10-year deal, is that will there be a players union form to have a collective bargaining agreement at the end of that 10 years? Will players eventually become employees? If they become employees, now they're open to taxation. They really don't even have to go to class anymore because they're employees and not students. So that's two interesting thoughts right there.
Yeah.
But getting into the structure of this deal. So right now, the proposed spending limits at year one are $23.1 million. And I do kind of like this house settlement in a way because, let's be honest, man, there are literally no rules right now to any of how college football is handling this stuff. And so I do like that, at least with this. Now, I think the kicker to this is who's going to enforce this? Because the NCAA has shown that other than punishing Florida State for Alex Atkins being an Uber driver, they haven't punished anybody for anything else. Oh, so the enforcement arm is TBD.
Right.
But the original proposed spending limit is around $23.1 million in the first year. Schools do not have to pay that, but most Power Four schools will be expected to pay that amount because, let's face it, if you're not going to pay your players and someone else is, you ain't going to have no players. Correct. So that, I think, is important too. And basically what this does is it allows the schools to purchase the NIL rights of the players.
That's right.
Now, this money will be in addition to the benefits that are already in place, stipends, tuition, things like that, medical care, and all that type of stuff. This is why, again, the long-term outlook of Florida State and what they're doing for their program, not the ACC, is important because it is expected to grow by about 4% per year, which is what they say is about the academic or the athletic budget increase every year by what schools make. It's expected to increase by about 4% a year to reach around $32.9 million by 2034, 2035. So Think about that from a timeline. If we get locked into the ACC till 2036, we're going to be $50 million behind, if not more, by the year 2036 comes, and you're going to be spending $32.9 million to pay your roster. What this number represents is about 22% of the athletic department revenue. Now, the NFL gets about half, but the agreement has been, with all other costs factored in, like medical care, tuition, the things we just talked about.
All of that, yeah.
Right. It comes to about that halfway mark. Now, those are the numbers that you need to know. I think the two most important parts to, and again, we're not going to go too far into the weeds on this, but I think the two biggest things you need to know are, first off, well, what about collectives? Yeah. Where are collectives going to go? And so here's what's interesting too. And this is kind of crazy, man, to hear these numbers too. And I know Ohio State was on the high end of this. The top collectives right now paid out around $15 to $20 million in NIL money last year. Now, we know a lot of that was primarily football, and this settlement covers all sports. So this is where it's going to be interesting, because you have to factor in Title IX, and you have to pay a lot. Like, how are they going to distribute this money for, frankly, sports that make money and sports that don't?
Right.
You're probably not going to pay a volleyball player the same as a starting quarterback.
Right.
That's for them to figure out, not for us. But they will be able, collectives don't have to go away. Mm-hmm. They will be able to pay in addition to the settlement funds. Here's the interesting part. It's now supposed to be what NIL was supposed to be the whole time, which, again, if we haven't been able to enforce it so far, so who says we're going to be able to enforce it going forward? Boosters will no longer be able to do, quote unquote, pay for play. It was supposed to be for legitimate business deals. There's supposed to be entities formed to enforce this and investigate and all that stuff if it happens. And so collectives don't necessarily have to go away, but I think you're going to see more of an urge to give to Seminole boosters maybe than the Battles End, unless they bring them in house and like the Battles End is our financial department, you know, what I mean? Or however you want to work that. And then the other thing, and I'll kick it back to you after this, the other big thing that you need to know are the roster limits that are being put in place. And this was asked about a lot at ACC Media Days.
Yeah.
Currently your roster limit is 120 with 85 scholarship players, because really the one question has always been, well, what happens to walk-ons?
Correct. That's the problem. Yeah.
And so walk-ons aren't necessarily going away, because the roster limit is 105, but you don't have to have all 105 kids on scholarship.
Correct.
And I believe it was either Jeff Brohm at Louisville or Dave Dorn at NC State. I remember someone being asked about this, and they even said that, like, we may even stick to the 85 scholarships. We probably won't have 105 guys on scholarship. We'll figure out other things through NIL, through financial aid, through certain different things, basically like a walk-on with a little bit of financial help.
Right.
These teams don't necessarily have to go to that 105 scholarship limit. But the good thing is, what the 105 limit does is it keeps teams from the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Texases, the A&Ms with unlimited money to have a 200-player roster all being paid. And so they may be able to kick in some extra NIL money, and I'm sure Florida State will too.
That's right.
But at least it gives you some sort of guardrails toward this. Now, again, I think the kicker to all this, and I'll throw it back to you, is it's got to get finalized first. There's more details to work out, how they're going to distribute the money and who's going to enforce it. And that's really the burning question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to just piggyback off the two things you brought up for the need to know is, I think with the NIL collective, as you said, the idea is that this would get actually back to what NIL was supposed to be.
Right.
Name, image, and likeness. That they would actually do, you know, right now, and I'm not saying this is the Battle Ends. I think the Battle Ends has been on many occasions lauded as one of the most standout and one of the most comprehensive collectives in the country. It's one of the best. So I'm not saying this is the Battle's End, but I'm saying there's collectives out there where a player literally signs up for an NIL deal and they do nothing for it. They don't do any commercials.
They don't sign
any cards. They play football and they're getting a big old fat check. And so the idea is that this would get back to what NIL is supposed to be, meaning that the collectives would have to have, you know, if they went to Paul Miller Ford and said, Ford, would you give this much money, that these players have to go do a commercial for Paul Miller Ford, or they'd have to go down to Nissan, or they'd have to go down to the waste management and pick up some trash or whatever that is, whatever the actual deal is.
Paul Miller
is,
Ford sponsor us.
Exactly. Whatever the actual deal is, they'd actually have to do. And so I think collectives are going to be around for a bit. I am curious of how this is going to work with You know, I think one of the things that we all recognized early on was that money completely shifted very quickly once the collectives came into play from an entity like Seminole Boosters to the Battles End, because obviously the Boosters serve every sport, the whole athletic program, and the Battles End was specifically at the time football. And so we wanted our money to go to football. And so I wonder if you will see maybe a shift back or a balance of the two, since now with the 22% of the athletic budget having to go to athletes, whatever, and then how much does that deem go to football versus going to basketball? Like you said, paid revenue sports to non-revenue sports. I think it's going to be really interesting to see is that as well. And then with the roster limits, I think you hit the nail on the head. I actually think a lot of schools are going to keep that 85 scholarship limit and then use that. I know Dabo at ACC Media Days was very outspoken about the fact that it looks like the walk-on part of college football rosters were going to go away. And you know that he was a walk-on himself at Alabama and what that meant to him.
Mack Brown was very outspoken about he does not like this.
Yeah. And so I think coaches are going to have they're all scrambling to kind of figure out how is this going to work. But again, the good thing is, like, you don't have the Georgias and the Alabamas and the LSUs with this with unlimited money, just the Notre Dames that are flowing in who have 200 people. They're all 5-4-star players and they're just hoarding them away for no reason, apparently, because they can pay it because they have the roster limit. This keeps college football. Some parity in the college football as well, just like the NFL. Like, they have a 53-man roster limit because they're trying to keep parity to make the game interesting and competitive. And so I think that's going to be the play there. There's so much to this, Jesse, that you and me don't even understand or know, and how the impact that this is going to be later on. I mean, because you're thinking about, you know, not only the fact is these college football programs, you know, $20 to $22 million they're going to be paying athletes every year on top of the NIL deals. Well, $20 to $22 million is just the minimum. Think about that. It's just the minimum. They can pay more. So if an Alabama wanted to say, you know, we're going to make $50 million available and 40 of that's going to be for football, well, they can pay more and then NIL on top of that. So we're only at the infancy of what this could actually do and the impact this is going to have on college football.
Oh, I 100% agree. And I think it's going to be interesting. Like you said, how are they going to put on the guardrails for who can pay more? Or, you know, I mean, if you can allow them just to spend whatever they want, that doesn't seem fair or whatever. No. But I also think the other thing is, like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of, I think it will help with some of the parity, but I think the other thing that you have to think of too is, like, there will be a line of delineation between some of these programs because, we talked about before where Florida State's athletic department revenue last year was around $161 million. That ain't the same for everybody.
Nah.
You know, a lot of these G5 schools or like a Wake Forest, a small school or something like that, that's going to be, I think I saw where someone said, I think Louisiana Lafayette or something like that, their entire athletic department budget was like $19 million. They're not going to be able to afford this. So I do think you are going to have, you may not allow the big programs, the big financial programs to just run away.
That's right.
But you are going to separate the haves from the have nots in this. And it's going to be interesting. And like you said, I think when the Battles End came out and they do a great job, I think it went from, we don't care about buildings, we care about players. Dudes. And so we need to get the dudes. But I think from a fan perspective, as we get ready to close this out, you know, I actually think this is okay, man. I mean, the players are going to get theirs, which is fair. I mean, I think they should get compensated to a degree, or whatever. I think it'll bring potentially more guardrails if these things get enforced. I think that's important too. And I also think that for a fan perspective, it does put some of the onus back on the school. We've talked about this before. Like, as much as I hate to say this, and again, I'm a Battles End member.
That's
right. You're a Battles End member. I'm a booster. You're a booster. We give money to Florida State because we want to. The school's got the sweetest end of this deal, man. When NIL came out, like, they still were raking in $161 million. And all the NIL money, they weren't even allowed to be involved in that. So all this money is coming out of our pocket.
That's right.
And so now I think, like, I don't know about you, Michael. I don't make $161 million.
I wish I did, but I don't.
I wish I did. I don't. I mean, we'd have all the 5 stars if I did, but I don't. So, like, I think it's, you know, the average fan, you're probably $50,000-$60,000 right. a year, you know, right. on a good side of things. So I think it is good to put some of the onus of paying these players back on the schools who are the ones that reap the benefits. And then, you know, if you want to donate to boosters and the battles, then on top of that, that's perfectly fine. But you shouldn't have to feel like if I don't give enough, we're not going to be able to compete.
Correct.
And when you got a school with a $161 million budget, that's not putting anything in the pot. So I think right. from a fan's perspective, I think it takes some of the onus off the fans. I think the school still benefits, and I think the players benefit. So overall, I don't see this as a bad thing because we've gotten to a point where, like we said, I mean, you're going to have to pay these guys anyway. Right. This is the money has just gotten out of control. And so I just hope out of this, you put some guardrails on things. And I will say, and I'll kick it to you for some closing thoughts. I think Mack Brown might have been one of my favorite interviews at ACC Media Days because he's just gotten to that age where he don't give a flip. He will tell you straight up. They were like trying to get him off the stage, like, we got to go. And he's talking to some guy like, I don't like it. We didn't agree to have this stuff. I hate it or whatnot. I hate where the game's going. So, like, not everybody's a fan of a lot of the 105 limits and losing the walk-ons and stuff like that or their current form. So it's just going to be interesting to see how it goes. The details are going to still, you know, continue yeah. to be worked out, but, you know, I'll let you share any closing thoughts on this.
Yeah. Again, I agree with you. I think this is good from a fan perspective. You know, there is more onus going back to the schools of saying, okay, schools, like, you know, basically we've been supplementing college football for how many years?
Right.
Now, right.
Right.
We've been building, not we specifically, but people the people who are not attending, we've been building the buildings. We've been funding the boosters. We've been funding uniforms and travel and all like that stuff. And so for this to be able to, and then they added on, you know, we got tickets, we got merchandise, we got food, and then they added NIL to this. And we're like, well, we don't want to be left behind. So we've been funding that as well too.
Right.
So it's nice for this to somewhat go back to the schools. I will say just my little jaded hat here. And this is no offense to Florida State. Florida State, I love you. I bleed garnet and gold. You're my school till the day I die. Right. But this is going to find its way to the fans. I'm yeah. just saying this is going to find because with the requirement of have these Power Five schools and the 27 other Division One schools having to pay this every year, you know, ticket sales
yeah,
are going to
yeah,
ticket prices
yeah.
are going to go up. Food's yep. going to go up. Merchandise is going to go up. Traveling's going to go up. The yeah. economy around the game day is going to go up. And so it's going to eventually find this. This is what we said many episodes ago is that when does this benefit the fans?
Yeah.
Because not everybody can win a national championship every year, right? Only one team wins a national championship every year. And so if we keep having to go give, especially in this type of economy, not to get into all of that, but just saying with inflation, all like that stuff, at some point, this bubble of this growing, because this is expected to grow 4% annually.
Yeah.
This bubble at some point is going to bust, and I'm just really scared and worried for what that will do for college football. But this is good for the students. It's good for the fans right now. We'll see what else comes out with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it will end up working its way into ticket prices. And, you know, as a booster and a season ticket holder, my ticket surely went up this
yes,
year.
Yes, it did.
And I'll be glad when this remodel's over so I can get back to some decent seats because they're a right. little bit rough this year. But I think it will. But, you know, overall, man, again, I just think it's like the financials of college football are crazy. And that's right. why I think this is worth talking about because this shows the second half of the show shows why the first half is so important. It shows why Florida State needs to get out of the ACC
That's
because
right.
we've talked about this to kind of put a bow on things. We've talked about this before. When you look at Florida State and Clemson, you can tie Georgia Tech into half of this.
Yeah.
Florida State and Clemson are the only two ACC teams that have competed on a national level. They are the ones that are going to have to stand toe-to-toe with Michigan, Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, all those teams. Not to say the other teams don't want to, but, I mean, you can look at their spending habits and show who's Correct. Committed to doing that and who's not. So we don't want to be left behind. We're not trying to just have a good time at the Duke's Mayo Bowl. We're trying
That's
to
right.
be in the playoffs. I also think, and this is the half that you can kind of throw Georgia Tech in, maybe not as much to the degree because they play Georgia. You got to win once in a while for it to be a rivalry.
Correct.
But we also, Florida State and Clemson, what's unique to these schools is you compete against a direct rival in
That's
the
right.
SEC that is going to be making $50 million
right.
more a year. So like you said, if they can pay more than that and those schools have $50 million more a year to pay than you do, you're going to have to answer to why we can't compete with those schools.
Correct.
When they're able to stockpile more talent, when they're able to come poach your coaches, when, you know, the non-revenue sports, they come and take your players and your athletes because they can afford to pay them more money. And so I think it is, this is one of the reasons why it's so important for Florida State to do what's best for itself and not the ACC, why they are not being a problem child, why they are just trying to, they see the 10-year roadmap.
Right.
And they're doing what they have to do to make sure it's best for them.
That's right.
And so that's why it's so important, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just real quick, too, before you Miami fans get into our mentions talking about, well, Miami competed on the national level. How about you compete for a national title after Moses was born? OK,
right. Like, you got to be kind. Rewind your national championship highlight.
Exactly. OK, we're not trying to diss you, whatever, even though you're 20-year-old. Title, whatever, from 2001. What we're saying is that right now in the ACC, it's Miami and it's Florida, or I'm sorry, it's Florida State and it's Clemson. Miami, you sniffed the ACC championship once and got your butt handed to you. Florida State and Clemson have been carrying the banner for this, and you cannot continue to remain in a conference where your direct rival that you're playing against in another conference is going to be eventually making $50 million more per year.
Right, per year. Yeah. And I mean, to that note, it's like, I know the last time we did the realignment episode, the Miami fans like, we're the biggest brand in the ACC. I'm like, yeah, no, you're a relic, first off.
Exactly.
You've been heard of a lot. Like, yes. Everybody knows who Miami is. Your attendance numbers, your success on the field, and your TV numbers don't follow that you are the most valuable brand. And to be frank, if it wasn't for you flopping since we added you to this conference,
we wouldn't be in this problem.
Listen up, Virginia Tech, too. No, and I love Virginia Tech. No offense to those guys. If these two programs hadn't have flopped since they come into the ACC, we probably wouldn't be here anyway. If Miami and Florida State and Clemson and Virginia Tech were competing for national titles year in and year out, that extension option in 2021 probably would have already been picked up with a little bit of a raise. So, blame yourself. So on that note, we're going to go ahead and end this one here. Stay tuned to Plant the Spear for all the preseason content we're getting ready to roll out. We got position group previews coming up, schedule breakdowns, a whole lot of stuff that you guys are going to like. Drop a like and subscribe if you've listened this long. Also hit that notification button so you don't miss out on anything. Visit today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. Go get some new FSU gear. You know, I don't think they have any ACC logos, so you can wear it whatever conference we might end up in. 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, as well as online at Alumni Hall FSU. Use code SPEAR to get 10% off and save yourself some money so you can donate it to the boosters or the battles in or whoever you want. But with that being said, guys, we are going to end this one here. Thank you for watching. And as always, go Noles.
Go Noles. We'll be right back.